trees, trees, trees. I'm loving the trees.
We are trees.
Ah.
They are the reason we can breathe. You may not know, but in theory, that they can talk and smell and scream.
That's a great song.
Roots.
Oh, roots too.
Network signal shoot. The chemicals relayed the news.
Did you write this during bottom of the hour news break?
Took all 10 seconds, yeah.
And if you'd like to talk trees, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're going to head south for our first caller. But real quick, just to summarize that last segment with Rick and the regulators.
Yeah,
for
thank
tree
you.
Growth.
Thanks again, Rick, for calling in. That was a pretty fun little field trip we took yesterday. And I was just so impressed with the control that has occurred. 16 months ago, this was applied. And the plants have basically maintained their same size they had back then, and they look lush and green and healthy. And it's not something you want to be, you know, applying, you know, helter skelter. It's, you know, all these products are there's a time and a place for them and an application. And if you got one of those, you know, trees that is out of control and you'd like to keep it, rather as opposed to having to remove it because it has achieved and now has exceeded its original landscape purpose, maybe there's a place for a plant growth regulator in your future. So let us know. If we certainly give you advice on that.
Now, I have an almost impossible question, and I'm going to ask all three of you, and we may get three different answers. If you were a landscape contractor and a customer said, I want you to plant 70 or 140 ficus trees 2.5 feet apart, and I'm going to pay you $70,000, that $70,000 looks pretty tempting. But would you ethically plant ficus tree 2.5 feet apart, knowing this is going to be a horrible situation 10 years down the road?
We have this happen a lot in our industry. We have questions that really we have to, you know, of course, be making our decisions based on integrity and what's in the best interest of the health and safety of the plants, as well as the, you know, just giving good advice to our customers. Often we will have customers want us to top a tree, and we have to say, you know, give them, you know, our advice that, hey, it's not advisable. There's a proper way to do crown reduction on a tree, and it involves a different approach rather than just taking that tree down at an arbitrary location or arbitrary height. And sometimes customers take our advice. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're not happy with what we want to propose. And yeah, you do have to walk away from those jobs if that's what integrity demands.
Excellent.
Says the
answer.
Man whose former tree company was Integrity Tree Service,
formerly known as.
Well, we are still Integrity Save a Tree.
That's right. Right.
That's right. Right. Absolutely. Right. And I'd like to think that I would do the same, but you know, you do have to wonder if. If you're a contractor, you need the business. Hey, if I got to make payroll or payments, you know, there's probably that's a tough decision to make.
And if you can't talk the homeowner out of it, he's just going to pay someone else to do the same thing.
Correct.
Hard decision.
How about you, Steve?
I'd take the money.
Take the money and run.
Then come back and do some more work for him to fix it, right?
Yeah, and then you get hired to apply the plaque. Well.
So here's a question. No. If the homeowner wants those trees planted that closely apart, could you talk him into believing that hot bush was ficus when you were installing and planting a shrub that you knew was a better decision for what he's trying to accomplish? Well, yeah, these are ficus.
It's funny.
Arizona ficus, brand new hybrid.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes landscapers do overplant with the idea that you're going to come back in and thin out the trees because they want to give a good push to the landscape so that they can achieve
impact.
Those shade values and the privacy, whatever you're looking for,
quickly. Yeah.
And then with the idea that maybe in a year or two we'll thin those trees out. So there's actually a strategy for doing that.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention, too, that Rick was getting into some specific details about how to apply this stuff. It's not just for any homeowner, and John was kind of alluding to that earlier, is that you need to get somebody that really knows what they're doing before you apply a product like that.
Those types come with certain certifications before you can even buy it.
Right. Yeah. They're labeled products that require a licensed spray applicator to apply them.
We're going to pull into Kurt's yard in Tucson and see how we can help him with his tree question. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. Thanks for a really good radio show.
Well, thanks for tuning in. How can we help you?
Well, you bet. So I've got a question. We attend a church down by the university that's about 100 years old, and there are several close to 100-year-old olive trees out front that we really want to keep. They're beautiful. They produce and provide a lot of shade and kind of part of the history of the church. At the base is red brick that was laid probably 30 or more years ago. That's all buckled because of the roots. Mm-hmm. And so we want to redo it so it's an even surface, as some of the congregations, well, I guess all the congregations getting older. So at any rate, but there's still youngins there. So the question was, do we remove some of those surface roots on a mature olive tree, or do we simply remove everything and build up the, the sand or subsurface to where all the roots are covered and trust that it'll probably last another 15, 20, 30 years before it has to be redone?
Yeah, those are all options, and they've all been done and tried, and you have to, if you want to save the trees, you do need to be very careful with what you're going to do with those roots. And, excavating down to compact soil and put down a more significant hardscape is probably the last thing you want to do because of the risk of damage to that root collar around the base of the tree. Olives are pretty tolerant to construction damage, you have to be very careful with what you do. Those roots, if you do want to preserve the tree, there's options of routing the sidewalks around the tree. I mean, if you don't have that that luxury of having that additional space, you can do what you said, take up the brick, put in a sand layer so you can put another paver layer down that would be more level and get all the buckles out of it. And again, you'll have about a 15-year, maybe even less than that, time before you start getting that that buckling as those roots continue to develop radially. Another interesting option is to use a flexible paving products. There's a FlexiPave or Porous Pave are two of the companies that we've worked with that actually put down a really nice product. It's a kind of a rubberized asphalt matrix. And it's just so cool. It's it kind of moves with your the growth of those roots under there. It will push up, but you won't get that trip hazard and those edges that pavers create when you get the buckling. So that might be something to look at. My son just did an installation at the University of Arizona on campus with a porous paved product. And it's really cool. If you'd like to contact me off air, I can maybe allow you to go down to the U of A and look and see the product itself, because it's really a catching fire across the country as a really great option for putting a flexible paving product down. It actually is porous as well, so it water gets through, oxygen to the tree roots, and so it's got a lot of benefits. Plus that, of course, the main benefit is that it's flexible and can move and can put it over an uneven surface.
And you said this was done on University of Arizona's campus?
Yes.
And he's in Tucson. So
He's not.
Kurt's in Tucson.
That's why I was reminded that he's not too far away. He could go and look at the product.
Bring the whole congregation down to walk. Go check it out and see.
There you go.
See your option. Now, do y'all have any additional input? For Steve, let's just assume they're going to put a brick back over it, and you might as well get the money and do the job. What would you put over it?
Well, I like the porous paved product also. And one of the things that another thing that you have to keep in mind and try to keep in balance is that when you put more material over the roots, that's less oxygen, less water that they're getting also. So this porous material is permeable to air, permeable to water, so it's a good product.
And one thing that all three of our major university campuses have are incredible arboretums on their mm-hmm. property. Mm-hmm. U of A, ASU, and NAU, all three of them.
At Mesa Community College is an arboretum now.
Mm-hmm. I know it's really famous for the roses, but I didn't realize they have arboretum status at University of Mesa. Congratulations.
Mesa Community College.
Yeah.
What did I say? Well, it doesn't matter.
You brought
what
up
Steve said.
In stature, yes.
Well, Steve would know about that arboretum because Steve is one of the adjunct professors and teaches some of the tree biology classes in connection with their urban forestry program. The Mesa Community College has one of the best urban forestry programs. If you're looking to get into the landscape industry, you want to get an associate's degree in urban forestry.
Sustainable agriculture and urban landscape.
Urban landscape. That's a great place to start your career. Look into that program. It's awesome.
And one final thing on, putting material on top of trees. Just as recently as within the last 15 years at Louisiana State University, LSU, they have oak trees that are hundreds of years old. And people used to pull up underneath and, to tailgate under the shade, especially in those warmer, humid beginning of the season games. You can't park within 100 feet of the trees now. They've got it all roped off. You can go walk under it. You can move your tailgate under
there.
But they took all the heavy vehicles off because of that soil compaction that was happening. Yeah. And
that was what I was going to mention, too. It's certainly not always an option. But if you can, just make that area natural around the area underneath the tree where the roots are and redo your path around it or something, that would be ideal. Of course, it's, when they're up against sidewalks or those types of things, I know that's not always an option. So,
yeah, but anything you can do to preserve those old heritage trees
by
rerouting the sidewalk or finding some other ways around it, and rather than trenching and cutting and it's terrible to see those roots of some of these big old trees cut just so they can put a nice heavy concrete sidewalk right up next to the tree. Pretty tough on those roots. And then the roots are going to keep growing, and they'll end up buckling that next sidewalk that you put down. So, yeah, lots of options there. But, yeah, feel free to call off air, and we can I'd like to talk more about that project around the church. Love to help out if we could.
We'll get him connected with where on campus they can go check that out. What else do we have on our January's Talking Tree to-dos?
Well, I know that Donna was mentioning a couple of events coming up across town, and maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, we've got the citrus clinics coming up. The Master Gardeners sponsor that each year. They do it out at Greenfield Citrus Nursery, and they bring in the University of Arizona Extension professionals. They bring in lots of other specialists that know all about fruit trees. They have tasting, I think it's like 170 to 200 different types of
citrus,
which is hard to believe.
Yeah, hard.
And they just cut them up and they're out there on tables and you can check out, there's more out there than navels and juice, Arizona sweets and grapefruits and ruby reds. There's an incredible variety of things. So
when is that?
That's going to be next Saturday, January 18th, 9 a.m. to noon. Out at it's Greenfield Citrus Nursery, 2558 East Lehigh Road. So check that out.
So you can listen to the Gardening Hour between 8 and 9 on your way there.
There you go.
You'll be there right on time at 9 o'clock.
There you go. So it's just once a year. This is a great opportunity. The other thing we have in Mesa is Mesa Urban Gardens and Trees Matter is doing a program at the Mesa Urban Garden, the community garden. That's at 212 East 1st Avenue from 9 to 11:30. Unfortunately, the exact same day, but it's deciduous fruit tree pruning. So anybody that's very specific to that, please stop by.
Now, do any of y'all have citrus in your yards?
We do.
Yeah.
Yes, sure. Of course.
I was talking with y'all know urban farmer Greg Peterson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We were talking, both of us have more citrus on our trees this year than we've ever had before. And this is the first time I've actually seen a citrus branch break because of how heavy the fruit was.
Yeah. So either you had some good pollinating going on in the spring.
Your tree has graduated.
Well, we weren't sure if we had such a wet season last year.
Yeah.
All that natural rain if it wasn't a result of all that growth from the rains that started September of 19.
Yeah, yeah. The fall and winter rains are awesome.
Yes.
They produce some incredible years of fruit production. Yeah, it's awesome.